So hey there, and thanks for joining. I know it's not a coincidence you're here. You're here on purpose for a purpose. Welcome. I'm Lena, the voice behind the podcast. Today I'm going to be continuing the book of John. So I've gone through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and today I'm going to be starting a brand new chapter on the book of John. I pray it will be a blessing to you. I have actually, with my family, started the chapter, and we are, I think, on chapter 16 right now. So I will be sharing the insights with you that I have found while I was doing this study with my family. Pray it will be a blessing to you. There's so much treasure within, there's so much insight within that I cannot wait to share with you. So go ahead and get your Bible. And if you are on the go and you don't have a Bible nearby, that's okay, because I will be reading as well. I will be reading from the International Version Bible, but you are welcome to correlate with a Bible version of your choice. So hey there, and thanks again for joining me on my study. Today I'm going to be dissecting chapter 2 of the book of John. I will be sharing my heart and heart on the topic, as well as biblical insight, and pray it is a blessing to you. I will also be reading from the Bible, so go ahead and grab your Bible if you can. If not, that's okay too, because I'll be reading straight from NIV version. With that being said, let's get right into it. Chapter 2 starts out with Jesus performing a miracle. Jesus changes water into wine. So on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come. Let's pause here for a second. I'm going to share some biblical insight on here. So Jesus is invited to a wedding. His disciples are there. His mother is there. And they have a problem. They don't have enough wine, or no more wine. Now, disciples know it. His mother knows it, but Jesus does not want to be part of that solution. So he says, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." Yet he is obedient and he listens to his mother. And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Now, is it important when we're studying, is it important to know these details? Not really, but it does help us to understand the story. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill up the jars with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Now, Jesus is giving them instruction. He says, "Okay, we have a problem. This is the solution. Fill up the jars with water." Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." Another instruction, "Draw it out and take it to the master." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. And so here, Jesus performs a miracle. And the master of the banquet is like, "This is the best wine I've ever tasted. Don't we save this type of wine? Or don't we give this type of wine in the beginning, not in the end? He says, what's going on here? He is astonished at the miracle. And Jesus, he gives the best, right? Jesus gives the best. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. Jesus reveals his glory. And his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. So these are just details to bring us to the next section of the story. Jesus clears the temple courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remember that it was written, Zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Like Jesus comes in and he sees what's going on. He sees all this marketing going on. He sees all this just stuff going on, people selling things. And he just turns the tables on it. He's like, this is not what the Father's house is for. The Father's house is for prayer, for praise, for worship. It's not here for this. And so he goes on and he destroys everything. Now, as always, here come the Pharisee, the religious officials. Here come the Pharisee, or matter of fact, it was the Jews. So they would, not necessarily the Pharisee, they were the onlookers, the Jews, right? Then they responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Like, who gave you the authority to do all this? And I've had a moment like this in my own life. I've done some things, I've said some things, and they will come at me and like, who do you think you are? To that, I have an answer. Who do I think I am? I am a daughter of the king. And if the king tells me to do something, then I must do what he has told me to do. I'm not here to please people. I am here to serve my king. And so I hope this was a blessing to you, because it surely has been to me. We have to have that zeal for the Father's house. If something is fishy going on in the house, if something is cloudy going on in the house of God, that we need to confront it. We need to turn those tables, because God is not pleased with all of this. And so Jesus then responded to him, what sign can you show us? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He is just like, he's not speaking really to them. He's speaking to their spirit. He's saying, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He knows what their intention is. He can hear, he can read their heart. He can discern what's going on. So he says completely something else that's unrelated to what they're asking. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple that he had spoken of was his body. So he's not talking about the temple. They're thinking with physical. Okay, they're thinking with physical understanding. What he is talking about is spiritual. And they could not understand him. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Jesus had discernment. Jesus had spiritual eyes to see, and he could hear with spiritual ears. This is what we are to seek for. We are to seek for discernment. We are to seek for spiritual sight and spiritual hearing so that God can use us at his expense. I pray that this was a blessing to you. Surely has been to me. This has been definitely eye-opening to me. And thank you for joining me as we continue on the book of John next time. God bless you and take care.